On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
of
God.
Never stand.
There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness.
Savior. Ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Free. From every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new
life.
Glorified with him forever, death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
God to
stand.
No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
One. A hallelujah morning, when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
grace. All bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the reading of God to
stand.
No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
Savior, ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Kessler. Welcome to the Passion for Christ show. So glad to have you, friend. You know, I'm blessed beyond measure, more than I could ever deserve. You see, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, because in him I found peace, joy, and happiness. My goal here is very simple. That is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. Upcoming in our study segment, we're going to be talking about who are we really worshiping? Who are we really worshiping? But first, headline news! Apple CEO Tim Cook announced to the Anti-Defamation League that the company will ban speech or news content that they do not like. Cook had received the Courage Against Hate Award from the League, reportedly defended his company's decision to ban speech on Apple platforms that violate the values of the company. He said, I believe the most sacred thing that each of us is given is our judgment, our morality, our own innate desire to separate right from wrong, choosing to set that responsibility aside in a moment of trial is a sin. But following Cook's announcement, evangelist Franklin Graham responded by asking, who defines morality? In his acceptance speech, Cook, who in 2014 declared, "I'm proud to be gay," became the first openly homosexual CEO of a Fortune 500 company, defended the banning of certain speech and news media on Apple platforms when they violate the values of their company. That should concern all of us. The only thing is, Graham said, as sinful human beings, we don't get to define morality or sin according to our own desires, preferences, or agendas. Tim Cook can't, I can't, you can't. Sin and morality has been defined by the God of the universe, God and God alone. God's Word, the Bible, is the standard by which questions of good and evil and right and wrong are determined. We run into all kinds of problems if Apple or Google or anyone else tries to censor according to their own personal code of right and wrong. That was the problem among God's people 1,000 years ago, before Christ appeared. As the Old Testament book of Judges drew to a close, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There you go, folks. Apple CEO Tim Cook commits to censoring speech against the company agenda. Franklin Graham responds accordingly. And I think that's probably correct, folks. I think we need to pray. There's a lot of power with these companies. And I tell you, it's a real struggle, no matter which way you turn there. Get this. An evangelical team has won the right to distribute Christian literature and share their faith at an Alaskan fair after being banned from the 2017 event. The father-daughter tandem of David Grisham and Tina Watson reached a settlement with the city of Anchorage that permits them to pass out literature at the public park used by the Forest Fair. When they tried handing out literature in 2017, they were surrounded by volunteers and threatened with arrest. On July the 8th, 2017, my dad, my nephew, and I drove to the park to share the gospel with fair attendees, intending to pass out tracts and visit with people. We didn't bring any signs. I didn't plan to preach. The Center of Religious Expression represented Grisham and Watson in a lawsuit against the city. Virtually any other topic could be discussed in the public park, but Grisham's and Watson's evangelism was considered a crime. And so the city agreed to a settlement. The court order ensures that Grisham and Watson maintained their right to share their faith at events free and open to the public. Well, there you go, folks. Christians win back right to spread gospel at Alaska Fair. Folks, we need to be ready for these kinds of problems and situations. Everywhere you turn, we're beginning to see more and more of this, how our rights to work in public is being affected and being confronted. And we need to stand and stand firm. Amen. Well, folks, get this. Two men who were nearly killed in an abandoned roadside vehicle says a voice of God told them to jump out seconds before they were hit. God kept us safe. God kept us alive, said Kenneth Bryant. Bryant and another passenger, Jordan Cole, were driving a Mudman food truck from Montana to a pastor's conference in Philadelphia when it broke down on the turnpike. Cole and Bryant stayed with the truck while others went for help. He was in the cab of the truck and I was in the back, Bryant told Fox 8. I was using a generator in the back to charge our cell phone. Suddenly, each man became overwhelmed with the need to jump. Bryant described it as a vision. Seconds later, after they escaped, their truck was hit and mangled by an 18-wheeler. Cole said, "We heard a voice, and it was to get out of the truck, and I looked down and I saw a semi swerving towards us." The state trooper said, "Most certainly, the two men would have been killed if they remained in their vehicle. We've come to the conclusion that it was Jesus. He allowed this to happen for me to be able to share this story for people to know that our Heavenly Father is mindful of this." There you go, folks. Voice of God told men to jump from abandoned truck just seconds before it was mauled. Well, what do you think? What do you think about that, folks? Time? Chance? Luck? Or was it the voice of God? I'll let you decide that, my friend. And that's our headline news for this broadcast. Now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here is your clue. I am the place where the Lord was received up into heaven. What place am I? I am the place where the Lord was received up into heaven. What place am I? Before you answer, really think about this one, folks. We will reveal the answer following our study segment. So hold on, folks, for that exciting reveal in our concluding segment of Name That Bible Character. And now we have our study for this broadcast. Who are we really worshiping? Something to think about, especially during this time of year. At this time, buying gifts for people and spending a little bit more money than we normally would. Get involved in these things and events. And I'm just wondering sometimes if we just aren't being carried away and we need to kind of be mindful of what we're doing. In fact, this kind of led me to this thought for this broadcast because several Sundays ago, I watched my beautiful grandchildren help their Nana put the Christmas tree up and decorate it with all sorts of ornaments. And my heart was warmed as each time they placed a decorative ball or placed a golden bead this way or that, and the joy on their faces was just pure magic, folks. Pure magic. You know, when you're 9 or 7 years old, you know, this time and this kind of day marks something very special indeed, and it's a moment to treasure. And so watching this scene unfold, I recalled the study that we did in Matthew chapter 2 as the wise men, magi, intelligent men, really, when you think about it, physicians, astrologers, teachers, folks who were not taken in by fantastic ideas, but who were on a mission that many would have considered to be a foolish endeavor. And they were asking the question, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They knew things. They were prepared. They were traveling. They had a mission in mind. Isn't it interesting that here these folks hear these folks who were not Jews, but were men, wise men from other areas, who had come, who had learned something that was very special that was happening. A king of the Jews. They wanted to know where he was. You see, they had heard that a child was born, a king, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. They needed to see, and they needed to worship. They needed to open up their gifts. These folks have come prepared, and they were ready. And so in Matthew chapter 2 and 10 and 11, it says that when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child where his mother Mary, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Could you imagine that, folks? They saw the star. They were overwhelmed. And they came, they saw the child, and they bowed down and worshiped. You know, I considered that in our own humbled way, ornament by ornament and bead by bead, layer upon layer, a personalized ball here and there, a carefully placed snowflake there, we were offering up symbolic treasures of joy, love, gifts that last to eternity. You know, many people think that the gifts of the wise men were symbolic. Gold, virtue, frankincense, prayer, myrrh, suffering. Yet for me, as I look at this, the emphasis seems to be more on the fact that they came to worship. They bowed down and they worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus, the King, the Jews. And that led them to opening their treasures and presenting their individual gifts. Now that was a spectacular and beautiful moment in history. But in a very real and a dynamic way, the gifts were symbolic of what was in their hearts. So what was in their hearts? The truth, you see, that the Messiah was true and real. That was motivation to worship. That motivated them to open up their heartfelt gifts. In many ways, this time of year is an opportunity for us to reflect more deeply on these events. And so as I was watching my grandchildren excitingly, piece by piece, and love by love, and joy upon joy, create a lifetime treasure by helping their Nana decorate the Christmas tree. And it's my prayer that they understand that it's not so much about gifts. It's not so much about the tree, but instead, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about the one who came from heaven, God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us, who came in human flesh, lived and died so that we could live. We could have eternal life. We could be connected. We could share the love of God. You see, the most important thing isn't his birth, isn't the birth of Jesus Christ, although that was important, that was necessary. And there's a great deal of biblical information surrounding his birth and pre-birth. It was huge. Make no mistake about it. But the thing that is the most important thing that we always have to remember, even during this time of year, is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. When the Apostle Paul said this and explains the very heart of the gospel message, "For what I received I passed on to you as the first is as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day." So if you ask me what's the most important thing to remember, even during this time of year when everybody is remembering the birth of Jesus Christ, Let me tell you something. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's the most important truth of the Christian faith. If Christ has not risen, then our faith is useless. That's right. Completely useless. Without the resurrection, we might as well forget God, forget the church, forget Christian life, because it's all a lie. And his birth meant absolutely nothing. And so we need to always evaluate ourselves, even during these holidays, because that what comes with the resurrection and the truth of it, we give Jesus the praise and adoration and lift him up, not only for his birth, but because he died, was buried, and he was resurrected, so that our sins are forgiven. Death is not the end, and how we live is important with ourselves and with others. And so I have to ask myself, who are we really worshiping? We need to find an answer to that. We need to know who it is, what it is that's motivating us, who it is that we are worshiping, because that defines us, and it must be Jesus Christ and him alone. And that's our study for this broadcast.
What child is this today to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems speak, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Shines to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come blessing kings and own him. The King's salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Eyes to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here was your clue. I am the place where the Lord was received up into heaven. What place am I? The place is called Bethany. Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. I am the place where the Lord was received up into heaven. What place am I? The answer is Bethany. In Name That Bible Character. Hey folks, you too can be a part of the greatest movement ever. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Because you see, in him and him alone will you find peace, joy, and happiness, and be blessed beyond measure, more than you could ever deserve. My goal has been very simple. That is to encourage you, friend, along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. If you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, I pray that you will stop by and visit our congregation, South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. But if you can't, visit our website, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com. Well, friend, I want to tell you this. I am so thankful that you have listened to this broadcast. May God bless you.
Jesus is just all right with me.
I said,
Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. Jesus is just all right with me.
I'm saying,
Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. I don't care what they may say.
I don't care
what they may do. I don't care what they may know. Jesus is just all right. Oh yeah. Jesus is just all right. Oh yeah.
He's my Savior and friend. He's my friend to the end. He's my Savior and friend. He's my friend to the end. He's my
Jesus.
He's my friend.
He's my friend.
He's my friend.
Oh, Jesus.
He's my friend.
He took me by the hand.
He's my friend.
Led me on across this big land. Jesus.
He's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my Savior.
Jesus is just alright with me. Jesus is just alright. Oh yeah. Jesus is just alright with me. Jesus is just alright, oh yeah. Jesus is just alright, oh yeah. I don't care what they may say.
I don't care
what they may do. I don't care what they may know. Jesus is just alright, oh yeah. Jesus is just alright, oh yeah.